Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, Religion in the Coming Age, Part 2. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to give some credit to the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. And Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. She wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show is based on the works of Alice Bailey. And the following thought comes from Alice Bailey as well. Today, slowly, the concept of a world religion and the need for it are widely desired. The fusion of faiths is now a topic of discussion. It is a task of loving synthesis and will emphasize the unity and fellowship of the spirit. You mentioned last time that the next war would be fought in the field of the world religions. Are we in the midst of this now?
Well, that's a question we certainly should consider. Maybe I should begin by saying that when we speak of a unified religion, we're not speaking on the outer level of everybody being Christian or Hindu or whatever. I think we all would probably agree that human cultures and traditions and experiences are so varied that it isn't appropriate to expect all humanity to agree on one particular religious approach. But what we're talking about is a unity of view, a unity of aspiration. And I think the comment you're mentioning was something I mentioned last time in our program on Religion in the Coming Age, when I said that Alice Bailey foresaw that if there is another world war, it will probably be waged in the field of world religions. And she said that such a war, if it occurred, would not work out in the loss of life on anything like the level of World War I and II, where millions died. She said she thought it would be fought largely with the mental weapons, which is an interesting phrase, mental weapons, and in the world of thought, and that it would also involve the emotions from the standpoint of idealistic fanaticism. Well, wouldn't you say that the present time is one in which there is really a war on the level of ideas and on the level of idealism and fanaticism underway? We see fundamentalism deepening not only in Islam, but in the other Abrahamic religions too. Christianity, certainly, and Judaism in the views of the extreme Orthodox in Israel and the settlers. Probably it shows up in Hinduism. Yes, it does, actually, in India with the attacks between Hindus and Muslims. So it is a really remarkable phenomenon.
And it's a definite outgrowth of the particular energies that are flooding the world today, too. So, I mean, it's kind of a concrete example of the expression of these energies, and we talked about them last time, the sixth ray of idealism and devotion. And these
which descends or drops into fanaticism.
Yes, at the lower extreme end of these energies, they tend to produce this type of fanaticism and extreme devotion to these religious ideas and ideals. And this is just kind of the culmination of thousands of years of building up the idea and the ideals of these major religions of Islam and Christianity and Hinduism and Buddhism also. So all of the major world religions have their kind of lowest expression as these energies flood the world in this sixth ray of idealism and devotion is very strong now. And as it begins to cycle out of influence, the influence has kind of a lasting effect on the adherence of these energies.
And in fact, I think something that is on the wane, on the ebb, digs in, doesn't it? It puts down even deeper roots to cling to what it has always had, its domain. As it slips away, it tries to deepen its hold on that. And I think that's what we're experiencing in the passing out of the sixth ray of idealism and devotion and the old religious beliefs such as the dependence on an avatar or a savior, on a force outside oneself to rescue one. This is being replaced in the coming age by a belief that the divine spirit exists in every human being. And the forces that represent the old ways of looking at divinity and religion sense that they are losing their position, and that's why there's such a battle, and the incoming forces are weaker and don't have that established position yet. So there is this kind of war working out, and yet we do see more and more a hunger for a union on the level of spirituality, not necessarily on the level of a common religion. But a lot of people, especially those who aren't particularly attached to any particular religion, feel a spiritual aspiration to have unity with their fellow men and with all life on our planet.
And I think that's the ideal that is kind of on the horizon. What is in the process of working out is perhaps a new expression of religion, but it won't necessarily be a one single religion that will dominate the whole world. I think what you might see, what we might see, is a common belief on certain principles that underlie all the major world religions. The principle of love, for example, that is so predominant with Christianity, and the principles, the basic principles of Buddhism and Islam. And there will be an agreement, let's say, among most of the people of the world on these basic principles. How they are expressed on outwardly, that's another matter.
Well, Alice Bailey said that to date, we human beings understand God as intelligence and as love. And that's the legacy, the heritage of our past religious aspiration. And she said he must also be known as will and purpose, and that the future will reveal God as will and purpose. And that made me wonder if the growth of 12-step programs that we see not only in overcoming alcoholism but also drug addiction and even excessive weight, the 12-step programs rely upon turning over one's problem to a force greater than one's own personality. But it does rely on the will of this greater life to gain control of one's addiction. And perhaps that's a step toward knowing God as will and purpose, as we allow that divine will to work through us, we are able to gain control of things that previously were beyond our power. Anyway, it's just a thought.
No, I think there's probably something to that, because it works out in many, many ways. I mean, the religious element works its way down through consciousness, and it affects the way we think and in everything that we think and do and say in the world is affected by this religious spirit.
There are certain fundamental doctrines, not doctrine, that's not the right word, certain fundamental beliefs that Alice Bailey said would be common to everyone in the coming era of religion, whether or not they are Jewish or Christian or Hindu or of no particular religion. She thought that people would agree on certain basic principles, one being the fact of God, that God is, and another that of the human being's relationship to God, that each of us, because we are human, have inevitably a relationship to God. He sees us, and we are capable of approaching God. And another is the fact of immortality and the persistence of life that I think spans all religions and all spiritual creeds. And a fourth is the belief that there's a continuity of revelation, that God reveals himself systematically, you could say, and sequentially as human beings develop in their consciousness. He makes himself known in the world. The most simple and primitive religions know God as sheer power, and the more modern religions experience God as intelligence, as love, as compassion. So there is an unfolding revelation of divinity. And she said also that this common unified religion would include a realization of our relationship to our fellow human beings. I don't know if we think, most of us, that that's part of spiritual or religious belief, that we human beings have a relationship with each other.
Well, I think that's, you know, you mentioned the word spiritual, and I think, as we said last time in the last program, that spiritual really has to do with the building of relationships and expanding consciousness through the relationship, not only horizontally through our relationships to others in the world, but also vertically to God, and expanding that relationship to God in a more synthetic manner, and understanding God, and that each one has a part to play in this great plan of God. And so that also stimulates that whole idea of relationship, and that's the very basis of spirituality.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, Religion in the Coming Age, Part 2. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that special offer is the book, the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. And it's available for $16, and the special discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. So in order to acquire it for $16, you have to you can only get that if you mention that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. And so to get the book, Ponder on This, what you have to do is send a check or money order for $16 to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is LUCIS, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. So I would take advantage of this if I were you. It's really a nice offer. It's a wonderful way to start with the Alice Bailey books. Each book is in such depth, but with Ponder in This, you have a chance to look through it rather quickly and peruse individual topics. And each one is abridged, and you get sort of an idea of your priority, what you'd like to approach first. So Ponder on This is really a good way to start with the Alice Bailey, books. And we also have a website that you might want to key into. We've archived all our we have a whole library of radio shows that our inner sight shows, and what you have to do is key into our to www.lucistrust.org. That's www.lucistrust.org. Lucis Trust is one word. And also, you can key into the WOR website, and our shows are available for 1 or 2 weeks there. And you can, if you missed a recent show and you get up one morning a little too late and you'd still like to hear the show, it's www.WOR710.com. Once again, www.WOR710.com. And by the way, if there's any reason that you'd like to get in touch with Lucis Trust, find out more about the organization, 1-866, our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. Or the easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. I was thinking that religion in the coming age, it would be wonderful if that could be achieved. And am I right in my perception of what you're saying, that it would be finding certain commonalities amongst all religion that we can, religions that we could all agree on, and then synthesize it into accepted beliefs? I'm certainly some of these ideas that you mention, the importance of love, compassion, understanding, I don't see how any group could refute that. Is that more or less the idea, that we synthesize certain commonality values?
Yes, that there are certain fundamentals, to use a poor choice of word when we're talking about religion, certain basic principles that all human beings of goodwill and spiritual orientation share. I think one of the problems with religion is the tendency of the human mind, which loves the concrete and the verifiable and the material, to overemphasize doctrine and scripture, and to say that certain rules, laws, commands are the essence of religion, when in fact they're really usually quite peripheral. And it's a problem that causes people to draw kind of a line in the sand and say that this is my religious belief and these are my rules and you don't follow them, therefore you are outside the pale and you are not going to be saved, or you are an infidel, or you are heathen, or you are hopelessly lost. That's what happens when you overemphasize the very narrow and specific doctrines. Whereas the kinds of things I was mentioning that Alice Bailey pointed out as common to the coming religion are the fact of God, the human being's relationship to God, the fact of immortality and eternal persistence, that life endures beyond the death of the body, and the continuity of revelation, that God reveals himself through periodic and increasingly subtle ways as human beings develop in consciousness, and that people have a relationship to their fellow human beings. These are principles I think all people would agree are spiritual. And there's one more, the fact of the path to God. I find this one kind of interesting to think about, that there is a path to God, because I think most of us would prefer a lightning bolt that would just...
Sudden epiphany.
Yes, a sudden epiphany, like Paul had. Mm-hmm. He was on the road to Damascus, and he suddenly experienced this blast of light and totally transformed himself. Mm-hmm. Well, the fact is he was apparently blind for 3 days afterward, and he probably had done a great deal of spiritual work to get to that point of being enlightened in that instant. So there is a path to God. It's a journey. It's not a magic bullet. And that requires persistence and faithfulness, commitment. What else?
Well, I'm just going to say the whole question of immortality, I think, is one of those steps that has to be broken down, the barrier to understanding this. And you talk about the pathway. You can't find the pathway until you get beyond the rather narrow expressions of religion that we have today. And I think a whole lot is going to open up. That whole pathway to God is going to open up once we explore rationally the breaking down of what's on the other side of the veil, the reducing and eliminating and tearing asunder the veil that separates us right now from God. And it's that the realization of the human soul.
Do you think we're getting to that point?
Yes, I think so. There are, you know, more and more people, at least we see that in our work. Mm-hmm. That's what we are trying to espouse and trying to promote. And
you mean near-death experiences and that sort of thing?
Near-death experiences is one way, I think, that is beginning to break down that what's really a barrier of ignorance that exists in the mind, the inability to accept the life that persists and life that continues on after the death of the physical body. And I think as we discuss more openly this very important question, I think it begins to, veil begins to drop away.
That also touches upon another fundamental aspect of the coming world religion, which is the realization that the human being is a soul. To me, that's so obvious and fundamental, and yet I don't think it is necessarily recognized by everyone. There are too many people that believe the human being is just a loathsome, worm-like creature until he recognizes his loathsomeness and says, I will give myself to God, and then becomes saved. I'm not quite sure how that redemption occurs in that view, but if we see all people as souls simply because they are alive, and if we see them as works in progress, developing at their own rate and in their own way, through evolution, through experience, through suffering, through triumph, we then are saying that everyone has the capacity to find his way back to the Father. That's the path. That's the journey.
And I think this: if one believes in a heaven or a paradise that one goes to after death, then who is it that is going to this heaven and this paradise? It isn't that physical body that's lying there in the ground. And it's the being that inhabited that body that goes to heaven, and that's the eternal life. And that's, in fact, the human soul that goes, leaves the body and returns to the source on the other side of the veil. So I think that the more that people think about this and realize the truth behind it, then it all makes much more sense than some of the teachings that are out there now and the religious teachings that say this is one life and this is it.
It also makes each of us accountable for our life. If we realize that we are the soul, it tells us that whatever is going on in our life is the effect of causes. And we have to look at our life and say, well, it is in such a state as it is because of various choices and decisions I, the soul, have made, whether or not I remember them. And this throws us back on our own resources, I think, and yet at the same time, oddly enough, makes us aware that this inner divinity unites us with God. We are, in a sense, products of pure spirit in a stage of development, not perfect yet, many of us with a long way to go, but it gives hope and purpose and a sense of accountability.
Absolutely, and I think we need more and more discussion on this whole thing because it is crucial that we break down this barrier between that exists mainly in the mind, I think. It's not a real barrier, but it's more of a barrier of ignorance or of lack of understanding. And some religious expressions want to keep it that way because it keeps them in power, and so they don't want their people to make this radical change. But it's something that really has to break down.
Alice Bailey spoke of the present tension in the world, particularly as it works out in the field of religion. And she said that there are three groups of people that are in a state of conflict with each other. There are the old age forces who rely upon doctrine and theology and represent the past, now crystallizing approach to God. And there are a very small group of real knowers, people who have made substantial progress on the spiritual path and who are serving as knowers of God in the world. In other words, they are acting as a kind of group savior of humanity. And I think we do see this group at work in the world doing really remarkable work, often behind the scenes. The third group is the younger people who reject the old ways of the past but don't really have the spiritual understanding to liberate themselves and who are kind of lost and searching. And it's the conflict of these three groups and the forces they represent that are bringing about a lot of upheaval in the world, and we see this today. I don't think it's an accident that the conflict in the world so often now centers on religious divisions. We have to find a way, humanity has to find a way to overlook the differences of tradition and practice and see the inner unity.
That's right. That inner unity exists. We just have to find it and discover it and bring it forth into our consciousness.
And believe in it.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that is the book Ponder on This, which is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. And the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. So you only have to pay $16. You can only get involved in this if you mention that you heard the offer on Inner Sight. So ask for Ponder on This, send a check or a money order to Lucis Publishing. It's $16 for the Ponder on This book, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, LUCIS for Lucis, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Easy way to remember, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.